we're reading, and we return to wrap up an application today on verse 17 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Paul says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And in the past few weeks, and probably a couple months now, we've been talking about the Christian's armor, the spiritual armor that God has given us. There's a number of pieces here that are given to us. In the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the sword of the Spirit, which here Paul defines for us and tells us that this is the Word of God. And we've looked at several things. We found out that, first of all, to be effective, we need to hear the Word of God. Salvation comes from hearing. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing from the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. And to know it, you need to take the time to read it. There's a special blessing in Revelation that God offers to those that spend time reading and hearing and then obeying the Word of God. Thirdly, you need to set aside a specific time in your life when you can study Scripture. Get into it. Get into more depth there so that you find out what the real nuggets of truth are that God is opening for us. Proverbs 9 tells us we're to search for the riches and the wisdom that we find in the Word of God. Fourth, you need to be memorizing Scripture as we will see Jesus did. He knew it by heart so that when Satan came and he tempted him, he could answer using the Word of God. And last of all, Joshua 1 tells us that this word is supposed to continuously be in our mind, supposed to be in our heart, supposed to be in our mouth when we speak it. We need to study Scripture so that we can know how to properly use it. Paul writing to Timothy chapter 2, 15, 2 Timothy, study. Another translation says, be diligent. Put forth the effort to know the Word of God so that you may rightly divide it, rightly use it. We will look at the example of Jesus, how he properly and correctly, in context, used the Word of God when Satan came. And he says, is it not written in Scripture? And Jesus says, yes, it is written, but you, Satan, do not know the understanding of the meaning of what is written. Secondly, we need to study Scripture so that we would grow from it, that we would be spiritual adults, that we would not be spiritual babies that require only milk, but that we could grow up and eat food that adults eat. The analogy being a little child is incapable of eating meat or hard food. He doesn't even have teeth yet. But as you grow up, spiritually speaking, you need to know the Word of God. Because Psalm 119 verse 11 says that it keeps us and it guards our heart from sin. You want to live a life that is holy, in other words, set apart from the world? John writes, don't love the world or the things in the world. How can you guard your heart and your mind against sin? By knowing God's word. I remember Pastor John MacArthur one time said, I can't even get close to doing a sin without having a whole bunch of Scripture come to mind that guards my mind and my heart and my life and my mouth from sinning. Fourthly, we find that when we know the Word of God, it creates a reverence and a fear of God in our life, a respect and an honor that God deserves. David writes, he says, I desire to come into the house of the Lord and to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. A place dedicated to knowing God, reverencing Him, honoring Him, acknowledging God for who He is. And last of all, Scripture gives us direction in our life, the way we need to go. Your word is a light into my path. Turn to Matthew chapter 4 for just a moment, and let's read this account of Jesus being tempted or tried or going through the temptation with Satan. Chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus was led up by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And then the tempter, obviously Satan, the devil, he came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones that become bread. What does Jesus do? Look here at this example. It says, it is written. You know, some of these things that we've discussed about knowing the Word of God. Can you answer Satan when Satan tempts you? Can you answer him and say, it is written? Not just in the library or on the internet, on your computer, but in the Bible, God says, it is written. We stopped and talked about the fact that over 4,000 times in Scripture we have the expression, "Thus says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. The prophet relayed the word of God to the king. Over and over and over we have that. Jesus answered Satan, "It is written, man will not live by bread alone, but with every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus is hungry. Satan says, "You're the Son of God, right? Well, if you really are, prove it. Turn these stones into bread." Jesus, of course, could do that. We read the very next couple of chapters. Jesus turns the water into wine. Now, if somebody could do that in today's society, he would be a rich man, right? Jesus could feed the people. He could take the bread and bless it and multiply and feed thousands of people. So the issue is not whether Satan can talk Jesus Christ into feeding himself. Every word that comes from the Word of God is the spiritual principles of the Word of God. Doing things for the right reason. Not eating because you're simply hungry, but because by eating what God provides for you, you have the strength and the energy to go out and be a light for the Lord. To be the salt in the community where you live. To live the kind of life that God calls you to live. So Jesus answers Satan and says, "It is written." So what does Satan do? You think Satan just gives up? No. Writing to Timothy, Paul says, correctly dividing the word of God. The idea there is taking a sharp knife and cutting a piece of bread straight. Those of you that work with wood or with metal, cut something per print, not crooked. The devil takes Jesus to the holy city, puts him on the pinnacle of the temple. The backside of the temple was a big cliff that went down several thousand feet. Those of you that have climbed Half Dome in Yosemite, you know what it looks like when you're way up there and you look way down. You see everybody down on the floor of the valley. Satan takes Jesus up there. And he quotes Scripture. He says, "Okay, Jesus, you know Scripture." Yes, Jesus is the author of Scripture. These are his words. Satan says, "It is written, jump down and the God will give you charge of his angels. When you jump and before you get down to the bottom, the angels will rescue you and pick you up. And just look at all the people down here. They will see you and they will fall down and worship you and glorify you for being the Son of God." What does Jesus say? Jesus says, "Again, it is written." Jesus doesn't use his philosophy. Jesus always quotes Scripture. Jesus says, "Don't tempt the Lord your God." You see, Satan quoted Scripture to him, but he quoted it in a wrong way. Satan's always misquoting Scripture or getting us to think about Scripture outside its correct context. You can know the Bible by memory, but unless God gives you the application, and when you read and study and memorize the Bible, and when you spend time in it, ask God to give you the meaning of the word in the full context of it. Don't take it out of context. Jesus says, "Yes, it is written. Yes, Satan, you also know the Bible, even by memory. And you're quoting it to me, but you're quoting it to me wrong. You're quoting it to me to tempt me to sin." You see, you can know Scripture, and Satan can use Scripture to tempt you to sin against God. And so Satan says, "Well, I can't talk Jesus into feeding his flesh. And I can't talk Jesus into doing a miracle in front of the people. I'm just going to tempt him just to write out sin." You know, these other quotes of Scripture was kind of twisting Scripture. Notice the third temptation of Jesus. The devil takes him up on a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world in verse 8. And he says, "Bow down and worship me and I will give you all of these things." Satan is not hiding, he's not masking, he's not coming with a trick like he did to Eve. He just flat out is tempting Jesus. He says, "Don't go to the cross, you can have all this right now. All I want is just for you to bow your knee before me." And of course, Satan is right now temporarily the king of the world. He does as he pleases here. Jesus, God has given him the authority and the power
temporarily. Satan's time is limited. And so in a sense, the nations of the world, the kings, they belong to him. And he could offer them to Jesus. But Jesus says, no, he says, my glory and my honor will come through the cross. Through the redemption of the brothers and sisters in Hollywood on March 27, 2011. I will not bow down and worship you. And notice how Jesus answers, saying, get away, Satan. Go away. Get out of my sight. Jesus tells Satan to get away. And follows it up with scripture. You see, everything we do, even when we're fighting the temptation that Satan gives to us, has to be based on the word of God. Why did Jesus not bow down? Because he says, do not worship anyone else. Jesus goes back to the Ten Commandments that God says, you will worship the Lord your God only, not somebody else. Look at verse 11, the conclusion of all of this. What happens when Jesus answers Satan with the word of God? Look right there, verse 11 says, then the devil left him. Now, wouldn't it be beautiful if the devil would leave every single one of us alone and just depart? You know, that's not a reality in our life right now. But what does James tell us? James tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Jesus resisted the devil with the word of God and the devil left him. And when we stand in the word of God, getting back to Ephesians, Paul says, put on the armor of God. Part of the armor of God includes the word of God. Surround yourself, your mind, your heart with the word of God. And when you quote it to script, when you quote it to Satan, Satan will leave you alone and depart from you. And you will, in the end, when the battle is over, when the smoke clears, it says you will be standing. The intent of the word of God, the intent of the armor of God, so that we would go through the temptation, and having gone through it, we would remain standing. That is the victory that God promises us. Amen.